Lake Effect continues now on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. The Vietnam War was one of the most divisive times in American history. Not since the Civil War a century earlier had so many Americans found themselves on opposite sides. Often the rift was generational, but not always. But unlike during World War II, for example, the film industry stayed away. Most of the films we know today that deal with the Vietnam experience were made decades later, with one notable exception we'll hear about in a moment. Film contributor and historian Dave Larson has a new book called The Vietnam War on Film. It's part of the larger Hollywood History series, which looks at how accurately American films and television portray American history. Larson tells Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski why Hollywood was so skittish around such an important historical event.
Hollywood avoided the Vietnam War, by and large, until it was over with, and even then they were very nervous about it. The only movie being made, major picture made during the war, was The Green Berets, produced and co-directed by John Wayne, who starred in it. And this movie was something of a catastrophe from a cinematic standpoint and from a historical standpoint. But I think the interesting thing that I learned in researching this was how popular that movie was at the time, because it was released at a point where the anti-war movement had gained great force, that many people in America were turning against the war, feeling that our involvement was wrong. And yet at the same time, there was a substantial number of people who either supported America's war aims or they took the side, so to speak, of the largely working class youths who were fighting this war. So we get into class division in America, something we don't like to talk about here. But African Americans and working class white people predominantly fought in the lower ranks of this war, while more affluent people found many ways of getting out of it, frankly. I'm not making a moral judgment about that, but, you know, an enormous number of people with more connections, more wealth, the ability to go to college, found ways to not be drafted.
John Wayne himself didn't serve in any war, but he saw it as his personal project, you know. Does it fall short of propaganda, or was it propaganda?
No, it very much was propaganda. He even made a statement at the time that it is propaganda. He was very much supporting a particular position, the position that had been widely held in America, not just among conservatives, but across the political spectrum until about 1965, that American involvement in Vietnam was necessary, that it was an outpost in the struggle against worldwide communism, and if we allowed Vietnam to fall to the communists, the next step would be Hawaii or, you know, Philippines maybe, or points beyond. This was not something that was considered to be a fringe belief at that point. So John Wayne was part of a mainstream view that was beginning to diminish by the time his movie was released.
Right. And with the Green Berets, you know, their historical role, you say they brought sophistication to the battles. They weren't your typical troops. They operated a bit differently, usually spoke many languages, composed of not your typical strong white man, Marine soldier. So can you set the stage for what this movie tried to depict versus maybe what it failed to depict?
Well, it was based on what we could call a nonfiction novel written by a writer who went through Green Beret training, which was quite rigorous, and more so in some ways than even the Marine Corps. He actually, you know, put on a uniform, fought with the Green Berets. He was thoroughly embedded with them to an extent that was unusual for war correspondents in Vietnam and in most other wars. So he wrote a book that became a bestseller called The Green Berets, and the Pentagon and State Department really didn't like this book because it revealed too many things. John Wayne liked the book. His screenplay underwent many changes to mollify the Pentagon about certain things. They didn't want to admit that the Green Berets were conducting cross-border raids into other countries, so they had to change that. What the movie got right, I think, aside from maybe the look of a Green Beret base, it did convey the sense that this was an elite core of people who had abilities and skill sets that went beyond the norm for even volunteers in the military at that point. It was a more sophisticated group of people. They tended to minimize the ethnic diversity on screen compared to the book, shows that there were a few more people, but it was kind of a Northern European Viking camp, somebody called it to. So that was not really inaccurate either. But the film definitely sets out to make so-called liberal journalists and mealy-mouthed people back home who don't understand what the war is about, the peaceniks, the pacifists. You know, anybody who would oppose the war was viewed as being seriously deluded.
What was its reception by critics and the public?
The critics hated it. It would be hard to find anything that looked like a positive review of the film, and yet it became one of the top 10 box office successes of that year. There were actually scuffles and fights outside of some theaters, protesters versus people going in to see the movie. So it was a flashpoint in the struggle for the public imagination over what to do about this war.
As you said, the Vietnam War is living history, and I imagine you have greater access to archives, footage, firsthand accounts. So how did you want your historical research to coincide with the films you highlight? And how did television change the reality of the Vietnam War and how it was depicted in film? Because the public does have an idea based on all the news coverage that was happening. So I imagine that created a challenge for some directors to make their own vision.
Well, it made John Wayne's vision look rather foolish and inadequate because people were seeing what the war really looked like at the time the movie was being released. And the Green Berets looks like a nostalgic World War II, a very mediocre nostalgic World War II film with very little realism. That just, to many people, didn't fly. And it's one of the reasons why that film is not really well regarded by film historians or most people today, even though it did strike a chord with some members of the movie-going audience at the time. Researching, the Vietnam War, as far as finding information goes, is actually pretty easy to do. There are countless books out there and websites with quotes and interviews from people who served in the war. And so gathering the perspective of the people who were really involved on the ground with it was very easy compared to if I were doing World War I on film or some earlier conflict.
Right. What was it like for you to collect this information about a period you had lived through, but looking at it now through this, hyper-focused lens?
Well, it was interesting. I came from a very left-wing background, so I had a minority view, maybe. I remember my grandfather was against the war as early as 1965, and that was, almost unheard of. I had a map in my room where I plotted out the route of the Viet Cong advances and against the South Vietnamese. So I had a very different view as a child growing up at this time. My view had to be corrected because really, the North Vietnamese and the Viet Cong represented an ideology that I don't accept. I mean, they were guilty of a great deal of brutality, as was the South Vietnamese government. I mean, I guess the point is I've matured to the point where, there are no heroes and villains here exactly. There are heroic people on all sides who fought for what they thought they believed in. They fought for their country. They fought to survive. And I wanted to honor, the people who got through this war with some dignity.
How do you want readers to approach and come away from this book, especially considering that there are entire generations who weren't even alive during this conflict, who are learning about it through film, through media?
Well, film is a distorting lens. I mean, for good or for bad, film highlights things in very dramatic ways that make us remember certain realities. Of course, the real reality, if you will, is far more complicated than what a two-hour or three-hour film can do. There's much more going on out there. But films enable us, a good film enables us to kind of like see the big picture in a way and to understand what some aspects of these situations were like by dramatizing human experience. But at the same time, I think we need to be very aware that no matter how good the film may be, it's not a historical documentary. It's a fictionalized account, hopefully based as much as possible on some particle of the truth.
Right. And that's also, I assume, why you wanted to include a specific section for each film about historical and cultural background on each film, which I think is a very important thing to highlight.
Yeah, I mean, it is. And it was the most difficult part of the book to write in some ways, because it involved a lot of digging, putting together the Viet Cong plan for seizing the city of Hue, which is depicted in Full Metal Jacket, the Tet Offensive, U.S. missions across the border into Cambodia, not unlike the one depicted in Apocalypse Now. I mean, the best movies all have some grounding in things that really happened. And looking at it as a historian, I have to be very careful and very conscious. It's not just, you know, my impressions of the movie, like I'm playing film critic, but I'm also wearing my historian's hat, and I want to be as accurate as possible.
Let's go to one of those other movies that you mentioned. Apocalypse Now, released in 1979, was Francis Ford Coppola's extremely expensive and delayed work, is probably how it was remembered for the people who were creating it. But you say it represented the final breakthrough on the topic of Vietnam, both commercially and cinematically. So can you touch upon what that film is about, the plot, but also the legacy of the film today and how it was viewed at the time?
Well, it was a huge success at the time, and it eliminated the fear in Hollywood that, oh, nobody's really going to want to see a movie set in Vietnam. That was still a prevalent view among studio executives. It certainly eliminated that. And as a result, there was just a plethora of Vietnam movies coming out in the 80s and beyond. So it established a very high artistic standard in filmmaking. It presents the war in a very hallucinatory kind of way, getting into the sometimes damaged psychology of life on the ground in fighting this war, of the uncertainty of where you were going and what the mission was. This movie is really interesting because in the end it takes no final position, because the two main screenwriters had opposing views. Francis Ford Coppola was against the war, and John Milius was for it. And so the character of Colonel Kurtz, played by Marlon Brando, was intended to be a hero by John Milius. Francis Ford Coppola, you know, didn't want him to be a hero. It became maybe more complicated and more interesting because it didn't take this definite yes-no black-white view of the situation.
What kind of role does the music in this film play, and how does that reflect Coppola or even how the American public felt about the war itself?
Coppola wanted to use music that the GIs fighting there would have been familiar with, would have been listening to, and The Doors, the end, to kind of theme song for the film, very doomy, apocalyptic music and lyric seemed to fit it very well. So I think that was very well chosen.
On to another film, Full Metal Jacket, released in 1987, directed and produced by Stanley Kubrick. And obviously, he has already built an esteemed arsenal of other films that he's made. And this one, you know, doesn't necessarily take a stance that the war was good or bad. Can you go into that a little bit?
Well, this movie is really interesting because Stanley Kubrick was not interested in taking sides in any way on this. It was more a film about the tragedy and absurdity of it all. I think it's fair to say that Kubrick had a very developed sense of the absurd potentials of being alive, of being a human being. And to me, this is what he was looking at here. He wanted to show the experience of men thrust into a very dehumanizing situation, beginning with training in the Marine boot camp. You know, this movie, oddly enough, and I didn't realize this until doing the research, inspired the way Marine boot camps became. I mean, it actually, I think, had the opposite effect of what Kubrick intended, that it encouraged some young men to join the Marines because they wanted to experience something like the very rough environment depicted in the first half of the film. So unintended consequences, perhaps.
Overall, with the Vietnam War on film, how did this make you perhaps reevaluate some of what you thought were cinema canons or about war films in general?
Well, we have to be very careful about accepting war films as history. They can teach us a lot about history and make us interested in history. But if we really want to know what happened, we have to take a step beyond that and do a little homework. The majority of war films ever made, I think, are not very good. And I picked for this book, it doesn't include every Vietnam War movie, obviously. I picked 10 or 11 that represented different aspects of the war. And most of the films that I talk about, I write about in the book, are pretty good to excellent, with Green Berets being kind of at the low end of this. As far as, you know, a takeaway from this, I mean, for me, this was a relearning, you know, about this conflict that I had grown up with in a way, too young to ever be drafted at the time, but I was hyper aware of it. You know, every other day there would be something on the radio, so-and-so from Maguanago or Milwaukee or Madison died in combat. I mean, it was an ever-present thing at the time. And to look back at it now, the great irony is the way that Vietnam, which fell to communism, kind of became a sort of quasi-capitalist one-party state that welcomes American tourists and welcomes American military assistance. And so you look back at that, and maybe Stanley Kubrick was correct that there was something kind of absurd in both sides in fighting in this kind of way.
Well, Dave, the book is really well done. Congratulations, and thanks for talking about it.
Thank you.
Watch my daddy in bed and crying. Watch his hand been turning gray. He's been working.
Author Dave Lurton is one of Lake Effect's film contributors. His newest book is called The Vietnam War on Film. It's part of the Hollywood History Series, and there's more information about it at WUWM.com.
Mom, been working.